brethren in Christ, God has brought me from far away in your midst, and I consider it a joy and a privilege to be today together with you. I look at you, my joy. You are a beautiful, happy and blessed company. Christians in a free country, being together in the house of the Lord, what a privilege, what a joy. It's not so all over the world. In my homeland, Romania, 1 million Soviet soldiers invaded the country and imposed a communist regime. So I come from the communist camp, 1/3 of the world. The communist camp is a world of many prisons, of slave labor camps, a world of many fears and many tears. It is a world of nightmares. From there I come. But even there, in this world of nightmares, God has his children like beautiful flowers on a meadow in different colors, of different kinds. The children of God are scattered all over in the world, and today I bring you the greeting from the suffering, fighting church in 1/3 of the world, in the communist camp. Today it is as if a mother having 3 children, one of them would be deadly sick. So look the world today. 1/3 of the world. Prisons, slave labor camps. For Christians, the children are taken away from their mothers. Our brethren are put in asylums for madmen, together with the madmen. Tears, weeping, the cry from the underground church. From there I come, but even there, God has promised that whenever those who fear the Lord are together, the angels of God are around them. And today, thanking our brethren for making possible the videotape, I have still to tell you and to tell them that we have another television crew here in our midst, the angels of God. Whenever those who fear the Lord are gathered, the angels of God are around them. They make their television tape. It is written that they write a book. And today I pray to God that he may fill your heart with his peace. The peace of God may keep your heart. The grace of God and his deep compassion may fill your heart, in order that the book written today by the angels of God may be a beautiful one. Many, many angels and beings of God will read this book and once when we will be home, all together, among the many books which we will find in heaven, there will be also the book written today, and as the angels know to read your heart, and as the angels know to see your tears, which those around you cannot see, may God give you peace and grace in order that the angel should read it in your heart. Now, my dear sisters and dear brethren, we have read together a part from the Old Testament. I don't know how many of you read often the Old Testament, but it is a part of our Bible. And when we were in communist prisons, we learned to value the Word of God. Never could I understand when Jesus said to his disciples, "I leave you now, and I leave with you the Word of God." I think the greatest gift which he has given to his people is the Word of God, and we found it in prison. Thousands of your sisters are today in dark, damp, cold prison cells. In Vietnam, in Red China, in the African communist countries, in Angola, in Mozambique, in Rhodesia, in the Soviet Union, in the satellite countries in Europe, thousands and thousands are there. We were taken from our home and we are not allowed to take anything with us, just to give a statement. And so we were without anything absolutely needed. I would say perhaps that the sisters who are far behind could come nearer here, and then they would be quiet and could listen. Would it be possible from behind? Come nearer here, there are still places. Dear sisters, we were taken from our home without anything absolutely needed. When I was brought to a subterranean prison cell in the month of November, I found there a young Christian teacher, perhaps 32 or 33 years old. She was arrested in the month of August, when it is very hot with us. And so she was taken from her home, dressed in a nice white silk dress. From the month of August to the month of November, day and night, dressed in her white silk dress, without any possibility of washing. When I stand before you, I don't know, should I speak about the hunger which your sisters, your brethren endure today in communist prisons? We were so hungry that during the night we would awake, we could not sleep, crying, "I'm hungry, I'm hungry." Nobody could help us, but we were so hungry. Or should I speak to you? I saw some of you did not come forward. Should I speak to you about our hunger to see your lovely face? Did you ever think about what privilege it is to come together with your sisters, to be Christian, to Christians together? we dream during the night that we are together in the church with our sisters. And we were hungry to see your lovely face. Never did we see anyone of those who were dear to our heart. Or being with you, should I mention the shame which your sisters endured from the month of August to the month of November, dressed in the white silk dress, without any possibility of washing. Perhaps my sisters could understand much more than I can tell you, and after having understood, look sometimes in the mirror and see how pretty you are, everyone. And when your heart is unhappy and you wish to have a new dress and you think, I need it absolutely, and you are ready to fight and to quarrel, I need a new dress, have a second look in the mirror and remember your sisters, hungry, beaten, tortured by the communists, mocked, and so very, very dirty, put to shame by the enemy of God. And then thank God for all the blessings you have and pray for them. They need your prayers. So we were in prison all together, hungry after a bit of bread, hungry to see the face of a Christian, hungry after a Bible. We never had a Bible, never a bit of paper, never a book, and never a Bible. You have your Bible. Treasure it. I remember a few years ago I was in India, in Kerala, and there was a meeting, tens and tens of thousands were gathered, and as I stood at the window looking to the people who came, to the crowd, again and again some of the Christians would come with their Bible. At once this hunger after the Bible, this longing after the Word of God filled my heart. I so envied them, and loudly I had to say, do you know what you have? Do you know your treasure? Do you know what a richness you have, having your Bible? We were hungry after the Word of God, after seeing a Bible. But we had among us, altogether we were so very poor, and in this utter poverty we discovered that we had among us Christians who knew by heart whole chapters from the Bible, whole chapters from the Old Testament, and whole chapters from the New Testament. I met at a certain moment a Christian who knew by heart the whole book of Isaiah. Do you know what a treasure it was? For a few days the Christian was in our cell, and also we worked so very hard during the day. We did not sleep all night in order to try to catch, to take it, to learn some from him, because we were afraid that soon he will be taken away and we will have no more from whom to learn it. And so it happened that one day we came together and we read together by heart the whole chapter of the second book of Kings, chapter 4. Today we read only 7 verses. And I would like to tell you some of the thoughts which Christians spoke about reading by heart from the second book of Kings, chapter 4. Now today we have read together about a widow who is in great need. She has a debt to pay. And having the debt, she comes to the prophet crying for help, because the creditor will come and take away my children. I don't have how to pay this debt. There, sitting on the concrete in the cold, dark prison cell, one of the Christians mentioned, "Can you hear me there? Can you hear me? Are you still with me? I took you with me in a dark, damp, cold prison cell. A few Christians sit together, reading the Bible from memory. And when we finished speaking about the widow who had a debt to pay, one of the Christians who were with us started to cry. She said, "When I was free, I was rich. I had 3 children, but I never knew what it means to have a debt. Now I know. Now I realize that we are all together, all, not only those in prison, all together, we walk on this earth like in a garden which somebody else has prepared for us. The whole earth is like a garden which we did not make. We did not make this garden. Another one has prepared for us the garden, and we are here like his guests. And whenever you are a guest in a house, you have to take care of what the host of the house says. It is for sure," she said, "that one day we will leave this garden. And then we will have to stand before God, and he will ask us, 'You have had a place in my garden. What has remained behind? What did you do? Can you answer?' We have a debt to pay. Other generations have given us a country. Our parents have given us life, earthly life. We have a debt to pay. Every one of us, whenever somebody gives, let me say, $10 to a poor man. Oh, he can be very proud. I was such a fine man, I have given $10. But if you have a debt of $100, you know what it means, a debt. You could not give $10 and say, 'Oh, I am a very fine guy.' You have to pay $100. It is a debt. You have to pay. And so we are walking here on earth, and every one of us, we have a debt to pay. Remember it. It is only in prison that we understood it, what it means to have the debt to pay, what it means to be a mother, what it means to be a wife, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a child. Everyone, we have a debt to pay, and the debt has to be paid. This widow, which I brought before you, she knows she has a debt. And not only she knows she has a debt, she knows the danger of not paying it. She says, the creditor will come and take away my children. Standing before you, my dear, dear sisters, I feel such a responsibility. It is in prison, in hunger and in tears that I have learned to know who I am and what is my debt. The widow says, I have a debt to pay. And we would have expected that the prophet should answer immediately. Ah, you have a debt to pay. He would put the hands in the pocket and give immediately some money. To our great amazement, the prophet answers with a question. Now I have heard what you need, but could you please tell me, what do you have? What do you have in your house? Never could we have understood this question and the answer of the widow. What does she answer? What does she answer? Oh, I have nothing. What would you have answered? Today, the great prophet Jesus, the Son of God, is right here and reading in your heart and looking in your eyes. He would say, now I know you have many needs. I know your problems. I hear your cries. But would you please tell me, what do you have? I know you need this and you need that. But would you please tell me, what do you have? And the widow, as we would say, promptly answered, oh, I have nothing. Just a little bit of oil, a little bit of oil, nothing important. And it proved that this little bit, nothing important, could solve all the problems. And then you will read in the Bible, you will see that not only it solved the problem, not only she could pay her debt with a little bit of oil, she could even live afterwards, cover her needs afterwards. All the problems were solved with a little bit which she discovered when the prophet asked her, what do you have? My dear, dear sisters, shivering for cold, hungry, we understood this question of the prophet. What do you have? Much better than when we were in the free world. What do you have? I know, dear sister, every one of you, you have your problems. It's not an easy job to be a woman in the 20th century, a wife, a mother, a woman in the 20th century, a full-time job, and not an easy job. Sometimes we in the 20th century are so very proud, so very big, so very intelligent. Women in the 20th century with so many rights, and we are even ready to fight for many more rights. But it is only when we are alone, on our own, and when nobody sees us, and when the many tears are on our face, and when our many problems stand before us, it's only then that we see how small and weak we are, even in the 20th century, and how big the problems are. And then despair tries to come in our heart. Let not despair come in your heart. In prison, I don't know how many minutes you would give me, but may I tell you what it means, despair? What it means when you have a prophet to whom to come and to ask for help, and what it means, despair? Can I tell it to you? Are you still with me? We have a brother of ours now in Germany. He has made 7 years of prison in Romania. He was a pastor, and because he dared to witness for Christ in prison, and he dared to pray with the other prisoners, he was punished, put in chains, and brought to a prison camp, a special prison camp for those punished in prison. When he came to this new camp, when he was brought there, chains at his hands and chains at his feet. Who could ever understand this, what it means? A prisoner who was there came to his encounter and said, "Welcome here. You came here to die." And our brother asked, "Why do you speak so? Hunger in prison, I know what it means. Chains, I have them. Why do you speak so?" And the prisoner answered, "We are here since 3 weeks. We were brought 140 prisoners, men, punished from different prisons, punished for different things which they did in prison. In 3 weeks, 70 of the 140 died. In 3 weeks, 70 died. Every morning, the coffin is at the door of the cell, and the dead are taken out. Very soon, all the others will die too, together with you." Our brother entered in the prison cell, after such a welcome and try to find out what is it here. In all the prisons, the prisoners died, but 70 in 3 weeks. What happens here? And he saw that despair had entered in the heart of everyone. When they came, the officer told them, "You are here, you are brought here to die. Nobody comes out from here." Despair, dark. And so our brother, himself in chains, himself hungry, I am a witness of Jesus, the Son of God. He has brought light and hope in this world. And he started to witness. I am a witness. I have a debt to pay. I am a witness. Hungering in chains, he started to witness and to bring the light of heaven and the darkness of the prison. After other three weeks, the punishment was finished. The 70 whom he found had taken Jesus and his hope in their hearts, and they survived because a witness of Christ knew what he is and knew he had a debt to pay, and paid his debt and saved the life of 70 prisoners. Perhaps I can tell you one happening. My dear sisters, the many problems which you have, the tears and the fight in your heart, Jesus knows it. He loves you. And in order to help you, he asks you today, "I know your needs and your cry and your problems, but let us a second think it over. What do you have? What do you have? Everything has been taken away from us. I look at the children here. At a certain moment, a new prisoner was brought, and it was a girl of 13 years old. When we saw this girl, all together we cried. We hadn't seen our children since years. And every one of us, we didn't eat. Everything we gave to this girl, to this new prisoner, because it was just like our child. And then this young girl was a Baptist, a young Christian girl, and she proved to be a source of blessing for thousands of prisoners, because you could see some lady from the high rank society, we were there, Christians and non-Christians, political fighters, lady in attendance from the kingly palace. You could see some lady from the high rank society coming near this girl and telling her, "Please give me a word from your Bible. I am in despair. I cannot bear it anymore." And this young girl who knew by heart many parts of the Bible and many Christian hymns. She paid her debt. She was a witness for her Lord and enriched all those who were poor and in despair. What do you have? What do you have? It's so very important to know who you are, and then you will know what you have in your heart. Just one happening. On the streets of Moscow, a big crowd walks in the morning to their work. You know, the communists say that they know to solve all the economic problems, and they are ready to come here and to take over everything in order to solve your economic problems. It would be good to ask them first how it is in their country, and afterwards to give them over ours. Now, in Russia and the Soviet Union, the workers don't have cars. They are walking or with a streetcar, and so it happens that on a street in Moscow, a big crowd walks to their work, and at a certain moment, a man just heard the other one on his feet. So the other one, very, very mad, turns to him and says, "Why did you hurt me? Do you know who I am?" The other one apologizes. "I'm sorry, I did not wish to do it, but I just hurt you passing near you." But the one who is a big party member repeats again and again, "Why did you do it to me? Do you know who I am?" So the man, the guilty one, says, "I'm sorry, mister. I'm sorry it happened so. But you asked me if I know who you are. Since months and months, I'm trying to find out who I am, and I don't know. How could I know who you are?" It is so that we walk here on earth, and most of the people don't know who they are. And while they stood around, the big crowd stood around, you know how it is, others and others came, and just men repeat it again and again, "Do you know who I am?" From the midst of the crowd, a voice answered, "You are an eternal soul, and you need Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior." Now the man, the party member, was cross. Who dared on the streets of Moscow to speak so? And he looked around to find out the guilty one. Surely the man knew what it meant in Moscow to put his witness. He disappeared in the crowd. He could not be found. After a while, everyone went to his job. Months passed. Again and again, this man who was a communist heard repeating this voice, "You are an eternal soul. You need Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior." Months and months he heard it. And after many, many months, he had to yield. He received Jesus because he knew it is true, I am an eternal soul. Somebody had paid his debt. Somebody in the crowd on the streets in Moscow had paid his debt. He knew I am a witness for Jesus, and he had paid his debt. and so my time passes. May I still continue for a few minutes? What do you have? What do you have? I know you need a lot of things, because so are we the women. We always need something. But what do you have? We worked at a certain moment at cutting wood, at cutting trees and the wood. When the communists took over a part of our country first, Bessarabia, I wish to know if you are still with me. Can you be with me some 10 minutes more? Can you understand me? I would like that your heart should hear not only my weak English verse. I would like that you could look into my heart and hear the cry of the thousands and thousands of your sisters and your brethren. Who would like to be with you? Who are weeping and crying after their children. We have the children, and sometimes we think that they are too much. But there, in communist prisons, my husband, when he speaks about their longings after children, he says, during cold winter nights, we, the men, we pressed our bare chest to the icy iron bar in order to quench the fire of longing after our children. So I would like, being with me this short time, looking to my heart, and passing beyond my weak English words, hear the cry of your sisters, of your brethren, and hearing their cry, you will remember who you are, what is your debt, and you will remember. Country and how great your debt is to join hands with the suffering, fighting Christians in communist land. Now, when the communists took over first one part of our country, they didn't put the Christians in prison. They deported men and women to the far of Siberia, and there in the cold they put them, men and women, to cut trees and the wood. And you had to cut a certain amount, if not, you were punished. When we were brought home to the prison again in the evening, not to have the little bit of soup. We had among the sisters there one sister with the name of Lydia. One day she worked very hard, hungry and sick. She worked very hard and succeeded to make the amount of trees cut. But we were not only Christians, We were Christians and political fighters and thieves and robbers. It was like in hell. And while the Christians worked hard, the robbers and the thieves didn't work and stole the amount made by our sister Lydia. And so, when Lydia was brought back to the prison cell, she didn't have the amount of work done because the thieves had stolen it. And she was punished in the evening not to have her little bit of soup. What it means? What it means? Only who has been hungry sometimes could know what it means. And so Lydia, knowing that she would not be able to sleep, so hungry as she was, she went out in the yard of the prison, walking around, praying and weeping. And as she walked around, at the moment she heard somebody, hey, do you have a mother? Awaking like from a dream, she looked behind. Behind her, a communist guard with a revolver in his hand. And Lydia answering, yes, I have an old mother whom I left behind alone. But why do you ask me? And the communist guard, do you have a mother who prays for you? Since half an hour, I'm running with my revolver to shoot you. I'm running after you to shoot you because you are where you are not allowed to be, in a part of the yard where you are not allowed to be. But with my arm, which was all right the whole day, I cannot move it. You surely have a mother who prays for you. And now run back immediately. Because if somebody will see us here, he will shoot us both. Lydia, still weeping, but now weeping tears of thankfulness, runs back to her prison cell, arrives there, safe, goes to bed and sleeps as if she would have had the best of dinner. And early in the morning, when it was still dark, when the thousands of women of prisoners were gathered in the yard to be brought to the field, among them was Lydia. We were surrounded by many, many men, guards with their revolvers, with their weapons, but not only by guards, we were surrounded by big, big dogs. When you saw them only, your heart got frozen. Among the guards was also the man, the guard, who spoke with Lydia the last evening. He was not allowed to speak with her now, but he showed her his arm. His arm was all right now. God himself has fought for his child, has made a miracle in order to show to all those who were around us that we have a Lord who never forgot us. In the free world, Christians have forgotten their brothers in chains, in hunger, and in tears in communist prisons. But the Lord himself has fought for us. In tears and in hunger, we have seen miracles and wonders. and we have learned to know what it means to have Jesus as our Lord. Everything has been taken away from us. But in our heart, Jesus was Lord and Savior. He was our richness, our strength, our hope, and our joy. What do you have? What do you have? A word from the Bible, which you gathered in your heart, can enrich and save those around you. What do you have in your heart? A little bit of compassion, a little bit of love. Give it to Jesus, and He will multiply it. He will shed it over all those in tears and suffering. He will enrich them, and you will be enriched. And may I add, just because we read together this part of the scriptures, for my dear sisters, then you will read again the second book of Kings, chapter 4. You will see what the prophet speaks to the widow. What do you have? Oh, a little bit of oil. Go and take some vessels. And he adds something. He adds something because he knows how rich this widow is. Don't ask a few. If it would have been after this widow, she would have gone and taken just one vessel. But the prophet says, don't ask for few. Ask many, many. Because you are rich, then you have a little bit of faith, a little bit of hope, a little bit of light from heaven. You are very rich. Don't ask for a few vessels. And then, my dear sisters, and I have to close, he told the widow, take the vessels, the many vessels. Do you know what he asked? Take your children with you. Take your children with you. My dear sisters, where are your children? Where are your children? Hungry and beaten, we longed after our children. But we also remembered, we didn't give them the best. We didn't know what it means to be a mother. We didn't know what a debt a mother has to pay. And the prophet tells the widow, take the vessel, take your children with you. And one thing more, go in your room and please, close the door behind you. Close the door behind you. But why should I close the door? Here is God who is making a great miracle. Let the door wide open. You know what would have happened? The widow, a very poor widow, went to her neighbors to ask for vessels. Now, a vessel, they did not have plastics at this time. They gave her the vessel, but it was their property, their richness. And they would have spoken, but what is she doing, this widow? What is she doing with my vessels? I know she is so poor. Let us go and see. what she's doing with my vessel. So they would come to see what she's doing. And the neighbors, they were richer and they were intelligent. When they would have seen what the widow is doing, to take a little bit of oil. What a foolishness. And to put in all these big vessels, foolishness. They would have laughed. The neighbors would have laughed. And the widow would have said, surely, they are more intelligent. They are right. How could I be so foolish? She could not have been obedient if the door to the world would have remained open. Let us learn to take our children with us. Let us learn to close the door to the world. Switch off the television. Remain with your Savior alone. And then you will hear and you will see His glory. You will see His miracles and you will be blessed. And the little bit of oil in your heart brought to Him will be blessed and made a richness for all those around you, for your home and for your beautiful country. And so, my dear, dear sisters, was it hard to be so long together with me? While we sat there on the concrete in the dark, damp prison cell, at once the door was opened, a guard entered, took us out all together and gave to everyone a beating. So are your brethren and your sisters treated in one third of the world. You are their sisters. It's your family. Remember them. When Jesus was on the cross, after having spoken 7 words, it is written in the Gospel, he cried a loud cry. A cry of the suffering of his children during all the centuries. And now, let us with a heart hear the cry of Jesus. The cry of the suffering, fighting church in the coming camp. And hearing their cry, let us give one tear to those in tears. Let us pray for them. Let us bring them before our Lord. Let us be one with those who suffer, in order that one day, when our Lord returns, then He will wipe away your tears and theirs, then we will be all together with them, we will be able together with Him to sing also the song of victory. I bring you their cry of suffering, but also their cry of victory, because Jesus our Lord is a mighty one, the wonderful one. Blessed be His holy name. God bless you, brother.